Pastor Benny Hinn recently traveled to London, England to minister at Victorious Pentecostal Assembly, one of the fastest growing churches in Europe. The message on his heart for this large multiracial congregation was designed to answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Even if you've heard one of his teachings on this subject in the past, today you'll gain a fresh and even deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit's personality, power, and desire to anoint you for a deeper relationship with each member of the Trinity and for service to the kingdom of God.
Person, and a person is one who thinks for himself, feels for himself, decides for himself. The Holy Spirit is not a new personality on earth. He is eternal. He was there at creation. For the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He was there when God said, let us make man in our image, for he is the breath of God that flowed through the muddy body of the first man, turning mud into flesh and blood. He was there, enlightening Adam, revealing the covenant of blood. It was he who gave Abel the revelation that God accepts the shedding of blood and showed him the cross. It was he who spoke to Noah. It was he who visited Abraham. It was he who chose Isaac and anointed Jacob. It was he who led Moses through the wilderness as he brought Israel out of Egypt. It was he who came upon the tabernacle as a cloud and a fire. It was he who led the people through the wilderness. It was he who brought them into the promised land. His power. It was his power that came upon the tribes of Israel. It was his power that chose Judah to be the tribe through whom Messiah comes. There's this power that came upon the prophets of old, from Isaiah to Malachi. It was he that anointed John the Baptist in the River Jordan. It was he who spoke to Zechariah that the Messiah would come in his lifetime. It was he that came to Elizabeth. It was he that came upon Mary, the mother of Jesus, anointing her to be the mother of the Son of God. Not a new personality. The Holy Spirit. I met him. That's a fact. I am who I am because of that. And the Lord spoke to me 3 weeks ago and said, go back to your beginning. Because it is there you find the power. It is there you'll be sustained. It is there you'll have longevity. It is there you'll have security for your future. When people run in a race, the hardest few miles are the last few miles. This is when you're aching, you're tired. We all begin strong, but we must finish strong. And we finish strong by remembering the prophet who said, "It is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit of the Lord." Not by education, but by revelation. Not by information, not by human strength or ability, for they that wait upon the Lord will renew their heavenly strength and mount up with wings as eagles. The Holy Spirit, who is He? He is the Spirit of the Lord. He is the Lord. Never forget what I just said. The discovery I made as a young evangelist, as a young Christian, that changed my life, was the fact that the Holy Spirit is Jehovah. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Never forget, Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He would not have come to earth without the Holy Ghost. What do we read in Hebrews? He offered Himself through the Holy Spirit. Meaning, He would not come to earth. He could not have become flesh without the Holy Ghost. The Father, if I can paraphrase, the Father looked at the Son and said, "Son, would you go to earth? Would you become the substitute for man's sin? Would you be that substitution? Would you be that propitiation for man's sin? Would you become the sacrificial lamb? Would you become flesh?" And Jesus said, "Yes, I will. But Father, I need the Holy Spirit." And Jesus looked at the Holy Ghost and said, "Will you go with me? I need your power. For it is your power that will bring me from heaven to earth. Your power will disrobe me. Give me that form of flesh." Think about it. The Son of God, the eternal being, the eternal Word, the one that fills heaven and earth, the one who is eternal life. The one that the Scripture says heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain Him. The one who is the beginning and the end. The one who knows the end from the beginning. The one who is. The one who spoke Moses and said, "I am." This God, this eternal God, became a seed in the womb of Mary. How? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit who disrobed Him of His heavenly form. Turns God into a seed. What power that is! Awesome power! And the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing within thee is the child of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit! I know some people don't like me to say that. The Holy Spirit is the Father of the Messiah. For Gabriel said He is the child of the Holy Ghost. He was conceived by the Spirit. And the Bible says he was given wisdom by the Spirit as he grew up. By the Spirit, he was led as a child. By the Spirit, he came into Galilee when he turned 30. By the Spirit, he came into Jordan. You see, there had been silence for 30 years. When Jesus left heaven, he was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to make him a man, to disrobe him of his heavenly form and put upon him the form of flesh. The Holy Spirit came on time upon Mary to fulfill the prophets. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit came on time upon Mary in Nazareth, fulfilling the details, the smallest details of prophecy concerning his first coming. 332 prophecies fulfilled in detail by the Spirit. Now he comes into the River Jordan, stands there where we were just a few days ago. The Father speaks and says, "This is my Son." And the Holy Spirit kept his promise. He came on time, right on schedule, anointing the Son of God for ministry. Where would Jesus be? Where would he have gone had the Holy Spirit not showed up on that day? A man of God years ago told me, he said, "Do you realize the Holy Spirit completely a separate person from Jesus, a separate person from the Father?" And you can understand it. God the Holy Ghost is not God the Father. God the Holy Ghost is not God the Son. And God the Father is not God the Son. And God the Father is not God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son is not God the Father or the Holy Spirit. Three separate persons. One God. Not three gods. One God. The Lord is one. Three persons. One God. You can understand God better when you look at yourself. You too are three in one. You are a spirit, soul, body. That's three in one. You are a spirit. You are not a soul. You are not a body. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and live in a body. That's who you are. You're a trinity. That's all you are. When I look at myself, I can understand God better. I am not a body. I am not a soul. Don't ever insult God and say, "I am a soul." No, you're not a soul. You have a soul. You are a spirit. Say, "I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body." Even your salvation comes in a trinity. Say after me, "My spirit is saved. My soul is being saved. My body will be saved." That's what the Bible teaches. Your spirit is already born again. Your soul is being saved every day, renewed day by day. Your body is still corrupt, but your body will be saved on resurrection morning. You're a trinity. So is God. You're created in His image. I think about this all the time. The Holy Spirit, so independent. He thinks for himself. His own intellect, his own emotions, his own will could have decided, "I'm not going to do it. I am not going to show up." Had Jesus failed, had Jesus not kept his word and promise to the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost would not have shown up on that day. But he came on schedule, for the Son of God was perfect in all his ways, anointing him for ministry. No miracles took place till the Holy Spirit anointed the Son of God for ministry. And Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. The Holy Spirit was in charge of all that happened to him. The Holy Spirit gave him the power to endure the temptations, give him victory. And then he came out of the wilderness by the power of the Holy Spirit, declaring the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, casting out demons by the power of the Holy Ghost. He himself said, Jesus said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, the kingdom has come to you. The Holy Spirit is a person. When I discovered that the Holy Spirit was a person, I began to treat him as a person. And then when I discovered that the Holy Spirit has personality, I can talk to him. He can talk to me. I can love him. He loves me. I can commune with him. He communes with me. Then I discovered something amazing, that he actually feels. He has feelings. I have never seen one scripture that tells me that the angels in heaven have any feelings at all. Angels have no feelings. Angels have no capacity to feel emotions. Because angels have no soul. Are they not ministering spirits? The Bible says, sent for the heirs of salvation. The Holy Spirit is not an angel. Gabriel never once looked up and said, Dear Jesus, I love you. Michael never said to God, I love you, Lord. There's a love so great between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's beyond description. Jesus said that the Father loves the Son. So great is the love of Jesus towards the Holy Spirit that he came into agreement with his Heavenly Father not to forgive the soul who blasphemes the Holy Ghost. That's love. That Jesus would love the Holy Spirit that deeply to say, My blood will pay for every sin except one. That's awesome. But the blood of Jesus would cleanse every sin. But Jesus said, you can talk about me, I'll forgive you. You can insult me, I'll forgive you. But if you insult the Holy Ghost, I'll never forgive you. That's powerful. That's love. That Jesus is saying to the world, you can talk about me all you want. All manner of sin is forgiven. You can lie to me, I'll forgive you. But if you lie to the Holy Ghost, you'll never be forgiven. They drop dead for lying to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. In the book of Isaiah, we see a frightening scripture. God says to the Israelites, You have vexed my spirit, therefore I have become your enemy. I don't want God to be my enemy. And don't touch the Holy Spirit. And then I began to realize through Scripture and my own experience, that never does it say in the Scriptures, not one place does it say, grieve not the Father. Never. Grieve not the Son. But we read in Ephesians 5, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Grieve, grieve, grieve. I saw my mom grieve over my dad's death. I saw a woman grieving over the death of her young husband, 58 years of age. Mama grieved for 3 years for my dad. But nobody grieves like the Holy Ghost. Over our sin, He grieves. When we lie, He grieves. When we speak against each other, He grieves. Read Ephesians 5. Such a gentle person, such a precious person, such a holy person. Easily wounded. Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He would not have come to earth without the Holy Ghost. What do we read in Hebrews? He offered Himself through the Holy Spirit. Meaning, He would not come to earth. He could not have become flesh without the Holy Ghost. The Father, if I can paraphrase, the Father looked at the Son and said, Son, would you go to earth? Would you become the substitute for man's sin? Would you be that substitution? Would you be that propitiation for man's sin? Would you become the sacrificial lamb? Would you become flesh? And Jesus said, yes, I will. But Father, I need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus looked at the Holy Ghost and said, will you go with me? I need your power. For it is your power that will bring me from heaven to earth. Your power will disrobe me. Give me that form of flesh. Think about it. The Son of God, the eternal being, the eternal Word, the one that fills heaven and earth, the one who is eternal life. The one that the Scripture says heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain Him. The one who is the beginning and the end. The one who knows the end from the beginning. The one who is. The one who spoke Moses and said, I am. This God, this eternal God, became a seed in the womb of Mary. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Even if you've heard Pastor Benny teach on this subject in the past, on today's program, you'll gain a fresh perspective and deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit's purpose, personality, and power. Now, let's join the Capacity audience at Victorious Pentecostal Assembly in London for the continuation of this important message.
On the day of Pentecost, He comes with such power and glory and ecstasy and majesty. All Jerusalem knows He's here. The wind comes into the upper room with might and power. Fire on their heads, flames. 120 flames in a small room lit up the whole place. Tonight, in this building, if a flame of fire appeared on every head, you'd call the fire department here. The whole building will be in flames. Think about the upper room in flames. May the Lord do it again. I said, may the Lord do it again. Who is the flame but the Holy Spirit? Shook the upper room. When He showed up, an earthquake shook the whole place. I see the Holy Spirit coming with such force, with such power on the life of Samson. When the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, He shook the Philistines. He shook the whole nation. He literally brought fear and trembling into the enemy's camps. Imagine, man, tearing a gate and carrying it all the way to Hebron. A gate, massive gate of a city, carried from Gaza to Hebron. You know how many miles that is? Look on your maps. Hebron.
Hebron is north of Jerusalem, for goodness sake. Gaza is in the south. He carried that gate for 45 miles. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. With such thunder, power, he came upon him. But when he left Samson, he left very quietly. I learned that about the Spirit. When he comes, he'll come with a great announcement. But when he leaves, there are no announcements. No, he just leaves. When he left Samson, nobody knew it, not even Samson himself knew it. If you ever should leave your life, you'll never know it. You'll never know it. You'll make the same noise, no power. You'll shake like you did, no power. The Bible says he shook himself and he thought, surely he'll be there. No power this time. Why? He's gone. Jesus, the Son of God, conceived by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, everything he said by the Spirit. He himself said, the Lord himself said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They could not understand him. The carnal man did not know what he said. His own disciples didn't know what he said. It was the Holy Spirit who led him to the cross as he walked up Golgotha. The Holy Spirit who gave him the power to endure for the joy set before him. It's the Spirit of God that gave him that joy to see the church endure the cross. The Holy Ghost raised him from the dead. Every step of his life totally dependent on the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus is risen from the dead. He comes to the upper room that glorious Sunday night and begins to give the church instructions, and the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. The resurrected Jesus is still dependent on the Holy Ghost. Do you know when Jesus returns to earth? In the form of flesh, glorified, he'll destroy the Antichrist, the Bible still says, by the Holy Spirit. You know what that tells me? That tells me when Jesus comes back to earth in the millennium rule, he will still depend on the Holy Spirit. He will destroy the Antichrist by the brightness of his coming and by the Spirit that comes out of his mouth. That's the Holy Ghost right there. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit while he walked on the earth, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit when he rose from the dead, if Jesus will still need the Holy Ghost in the millennium reign, how much more do you need the Holy Spirit? It's a person with emotions, intellect, will. What if Jesus had failed as a man? What if he had fallen into sin on the earth? He said it's impossible. Who told you it's impossible? The Bible makes it very clear. He was tempted in all points. If Jesus could not have sinned, then those temptations were a farce. If Jesus could not have sinned, I cannot identify with him. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, he was as much man as though he was not God. And he remained perfect and sinless by the power of the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Spirit kept sin away from him, he'll keep sin away from you. For sin shall not have dominion over you on one condition. The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death is deadly sin. If the Holy Spirit is so important to us, why do we ignore him? For the law of the Spirit of life, who is the Spirit of life but the Holy Spirit? The law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin shall not have dominion over you only on one condition. Yield your members to the Holy Spirit. I think the greatest baptism you'll ever receive is when you give him your body as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they gave those bodies of those animals as death sacrifices. The Bible doesn't say, give your body as a dead sacrifice like those animals. Give him your body as a living sacrifice. And I think when you give God that body of yours as a living sacrifice, he will anoint you, he will use you, he'll baptize you. You'll have an experience that'll shake the world. The Holy Spirit, God Almighty, I feel his anointing just talking about him. When I discovered he is God, I began to worship him. I began to praise him. I know this really bothers some people. Oh, my dear God, it bothered my mother-in-law. It bothered my own mother-in-law. Dear Pauline, sweet. Comes from Cardiff, Wales, down here. My mother-in-law is British, like you. My son Joshua is half British. My precious mother-in-law said to me, Benny, who do we talk to? Who do we worship? I said, Pauline, there is no competition in the Godhead. When I worship the Holy Spirit, I worship God. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And who is he? He's the Spirit of the Lord. There's one of them, not three of them. Three persons, one God. You worship the Holy Spirit every Sunday morning, you do. Come on, have you never sung the song? Of course you have. I've sang it with you. You've sung it with me. Spirit, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. You've sung it many times. To who? The Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. Worship and adore you. Jesus, we love you. Worship and adore you. Spirit, we love you. You love him, don't you? Well, he loves you more. Lift your hand and say, he loves me more. God the Father loves you. We all know that God the Father loves you because it says, for God so loved the world. In John, we all know that Jesus loved us because in John he says, he loved his own unto the end. How about the Holy Spirit? Romans 15, I love Romans 15. He said, for the love of the Spirit, the love of the Spirit. Nobody ever wrote a song about the love of the Spirit. Jesus loves me, this I know. How about the Holy Spirit's love? You see, God the Father loved you so dearly, he sent his Son. Jesus loved you so deeply and dearly, eternally, he died for you. The Holy Spirit so loves you that he revealed Jesus to you. He came after you to bring you to Jesus. Without the Holy Ghost, you would have never discovered Jesus.
the greatest prayer that Paul prayed in 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse, he said, now the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be yours. That's fellowship. Changed my life. Koinonia. Friendship. Intimacy. Participation with Him. His guidance, His leadership, His teaching. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says something amazing to me. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, we see that it's the Holy Spirit who imparts the power of God that we might know Jesus as Lord. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Spirit, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, no man can say Jesus is the Lord. Now look, people can say Jesus is Lord, they'll get blue in the face. But they will not live it. They will not be obedient without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the power to declare Jesus as Lord and live the life that He is your Lord and show it to the world. That's what it means in 1 Corinthians 12:3. The Bible tells us in John 16, verse 8 to 11. Oh, this is glorious. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to know the truth about Jesus, to be convicted of sin. You read that amazing portion in John 16. Verse 7, Jesus said, it's more expedient that I go away. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. How? Through you. When you stand there and speak and minister, people are convicted. Why? By the Spirit. Nobody was convicted when Jesus preached. The amazing thing here. Jesus preached and nobody felt His presence while He's preaching. Isn't that amazing? That the Son of God would publicly preach to thousands in Galilee, thousands in Jerusalem, and nobody felt His power except the people He touched. Nobody felt His presence. Nobody said, what must I do to be saved? Nobody! Why? Because the Holy Ghost wasn't here yet. Nobody even understood what He said. Why? The Holy Ghost wasn't here yet. The apostles did not even know what He meant when He said, I'm going to Golgotha. I'm going to the cross. They said, what is He talking about? Do you know what He means? No, I don't. Do you know? No, I don't know. Why? It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. Nobody knew. The Holy Ghost wasn't there. They had no idea what He meant. Even when He said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers. They had no idea what He meant by the rivers till the day of Pentecost came. Jesus, the Son of God. I think about this all the time. That Jesus, the Son of God, preached the gospel and nobody said, what must I do to be saved? Nicodemus did not even get it. The Son of God said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, what? Explain that to me. But when Peter spoke, when Peter preached, 3,000 said, tell us how to be saved. And I think it's even more glorious. You know, I'm amazed by the fact that Paul and Silas did not preach to that jailer. The Holy Ghost preached to that jailer. There isn't one verse that tells me that Paul said to the jailer, let me tell you about Jesus. Not one place does it say that Silas said, let me tell you. What did they do? They sang. They sang hymns in that prison. They just sang and they sang and they sang. And while they're singing, the Holy Ghost is convicting that man.
My brother, he does not need your preaching. You need his power. That's what you need. He'll convict the sinner of sin just when you walk in. Jesus, the Son of God, conceived by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, everything he said by the Spirit. Himself said, the Lord himself said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They could not understand him. The carnal man did not know what he said. His own disciples didn't know what he said. It was the Holy Spirit who led him to the cross as he walked up Golgotha. The Holy Spirit who gave him the power to endure for the joy set before him. It's the Spirit of God that gave him that joy to see the church endure the cross. The Holy Ghost raised him from the dead. Every step of his life totally dependent on the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus is risen from the dead. He comes to the upper room that glorious Sunday night and begins to give the church instructions, and the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. The resurrected Jesus is still dependent on the Holy Ghost. Do you know when Jesus returns to earth in the form of flesh, glorified, he'll destroy the Antichrist, the Bible still says, by the Holy Spirit. You know what that tells me? That tells me when Jesus comes back to earth in the millennium rule, he will still depend on the Holy Spirit. He will destroy the Antichrist by the brightness of his coming and by the Spirit that comes out of his mouth. That's the Holy Ghost right there. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit while he walked on the earth, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit when he rose from the dead, if Jesus will still need the Holy Ghost in the millennium reign, how much more do you need the Holy Spirit?
Now, let's join the capacity audience at Victorious Pentecostal Assembly in London for the conclusion of Pastor Benny's message on the Holy Spirit.
Now, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says something amazing to me. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, we see that it's the Holy Spirit who imparts the power of God that we might know Jesus as Lord. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. No man can say Jesus is the Lord. Now look, people can say Jesus is Lord, they'll be blue in the face. But they will not live it. They will not be obedient without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the power to declare Jesus as Lord and live the life that He is your Lord and show it to the world. That's what it means in 1 Corinthians 12:3. The Bible tells us in John 16, verse 8 to 11. Oh, this is glorious. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to know the truth about Jesus, to be convicted of sin. You read that amazing portion in John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, it's more expedient that I go away. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. How? Through you. When you stand there and speak and minister, people are convicted. Why? By the Spirit. Nobody was convicted when Jesus preached. It's an amazing thing here. Jesus preached and nobody felt His presence while He's preaching. Isn't that amazing? That the Son of God would publicly preach to thousands in Galilee,
thousands in Jerusalem, and nobody felt his power except the people he touched. Nobody felt his presence. Nobody said, what must I do to be saved?
Nobody! Why? Because the Holy Ghost wasn't here yet. Nobody even understood what he said. Why? The Holy Ghost wasn't here yet. The apostles did not even know what he meant when he said, I'm going to Golgotha. I'm going to the cross. They said,
what is he talking about? Do you know what he means? No, I don't. Do you know? No, I don't know. Why? It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit.
Nobody knew. The Holy Ghost wasn't there. They had no idea what he meant. Even when he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers, they had no idea what he meant by the rivers till the day of Pentecost came. Jesus, the Son of God. I think about this all the time. That Jesus, the Son of God, preached the gospel and nobody said, what must I do to be saved? Nicodemus did not even get it. The Son of God said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, what? Explain that to me. But when Peter spoke, when Peter preached, 3,000 said, tell us how to be saved. And I think it's even more glorious. You know, I'm amazed by the fact that Paul and Silas did not preach to that jailer. The Holy Ghost preached to that jailer. There isn't one verse that tells me that Paul said to the jailer, let me tell you about Jesus. Not one place does it say that Silas said, let me tell you, what did they do? They sang. They sang hymns in that prison. They just sang and they sang and they sang. And while they're singing, the Holy Ghost is convicting that man. My brother, he does not need your preaching. You need his power. That's what you need. He'll convict the sinner of sin just when you walk in.
Do you know their stories in the Muslim world when preachers came to the homes of Muslims before they even heard the gospel? They wanted Jesus. Listen, I know a man, Mr. Harmut is his name. He lives in Houston today. He was the pastor of a church in Bethlehem. I preached for that man. He told about the story himself. He said, Brother Benny,
we lived on a hill outside Bethlehem, a place called Bethphage. We lived right outside Bethlehem. He said, there was a Muslim family up the hill. Their daughter was tormented by demons day and night. They called for the Muslim imam to come help them. Nothing happened. They called for the Greek Orthodox priest. Nothing happened. They called for the Catholic priest. Nothing happened. The Catholic priest came and sprayed his holy water and did all his chanting in Latin. No devil even came out. The Greek Orthodox came with his Kyrie eleison and Gregorian chant. Nothing. The devils were not impressed. They even called the Jewish rabbi. Now that's real desperation. A Muslim family calling for help from a Jewish rabbi. And the dear Jewish rabbi came to the house of a Palestinian Muslim family with a demon-possessed girl. And he prayed in Hebrew and the devils were not impressed. Then they finally said, let's call that preacher that we make fun of. And Mr. Harmut, the dear, sweet Palestinian man of God, I can still see his face to this day. He said, Brother Benny, I walked up that hill and took my wife with me. And then he said this. He said, as I'm walking up the hill, the devils begin to cry out. The demons begin to cry out while I'm walking up the hill. He said, do you know what they said? I said, no. The demons began to cry out of the little girl, this teenage girl. He said, these voices voices. Not one, not two, not three, not ten. He said over 10 demons were crying out, the Christians are coming! The Christians are coming! The Christians are coming! The Christians are coming! And before Mr. Carmuth can knock on the door, every devil had left that girl! And when the devil left that girl, he walked into that house, and before he could say a word, the father of the little girl said to Pastor Carmuth, he said, tell us, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to become Christians? They saw the power of God. I'm here to tell you, all the Holy Ghost needs is your body. All He needs is your mind. All He needs is your hand. All He needs is your feet. All He needs is your soul. All He needs is your vessel. Just give Him the vessel. That's all I did. That's all I did. I said, take my vessel, take it. I have no use for it. You can use it. Lift your hands and say, I have no use for my body. I have no use for my vessel. I give it to you, Lord. The Holy Spirit wants your body. Give it to Him. It's His temple. Remember that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know that it's the Holy Spirit who gives us power to be renewed completely. In Titus 3:5, it talks about the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, take your seat. Sit down. I'm still not talking. I'm still not done. Are you ready for more? Do you know that it's the Holy Spirit who turned chaos into beauty so long ago? It was the Holy Ghost who took a shapeless, dark, tormented, crooked, empty world and brought beauty to this planet. He renewed the face of the heavens and the earth. And I think, dear God, if the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to renew the whole planet, He can renew me. He can renew you. I've told Him many times. I said, Lord, renew my life like You've renewed the planet. The Bible says in Isaiah 24 that the garden would be there from the wilderness. He'll turn the wilderness into a fruitful field. Only by the Spirit. And Titus 3:5 tells us He is the one who renews us. And it's the Holy Spirit who can set you free from sin. Do you understand that? You struggle against sin day in and day out. It's time to stop struggling. Let Him do His work. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus shall set you free from the law of sin and death. Lift your hands and say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Say it again. Say it again. I think it's time to change your address. You've been living in Romans 7 too long. It's time to move to Romans 8. We need to move out of Romans 7. In Romans 7, we don't know if we're in or out. We want to do good and can't do it. We're going back and forth. But Romans 8, therefore there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who what? Who walk in the Spirit. You see, when you are in the Holy Ghost, Satan cannot find you. I'm going to tell you one more time. When you live in the Spirit, the devil will lose your scent. The only people that can hide from the devil are the people living in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, the flesh has no power over you.
At the conclusion of Pastor Benny's message, the Holy Spirit descended upon those in attendance at Victorious Pentecostal Assembly and manifested His mighty power in the lives of many who were in need of healing in their physical bodies.
This lady had a spine injury for many years.
Just bring her.
I would have given her a thing so
beautiful. Her spine was injured. Bend down, touch your toes. Bend down, touch your toes. Touch your toes, darling. Touch your toes.
arthritis in the left leg. Come on,
come.
The power of God came on her, and the pain is completely gone.
The pain left your leg. Completely left your leg. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. There is a mighty anointing in this house. Lift your hands and receive all that belongs to you. All that belongs to you.
That's the power of God.
That's the power of God.
He has a stomach problem that he has for a long time. The power of God.
Close the power of the Holy Ghost. Pick him up. Close the power of God. Pick him up.
Pastor Eddie, this lady came with diabetes. Her vision was blurry. Pain on her body. The power of God came on her, and the pain.
Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your healing virtue. Thank you for that healing virtue. Thank you for that healing virtue. Thank you for that healing virtue. Lift your hands and praise Him all.
This man had diabetes for over 25 years, and he had a stroke. The power of God came on him. His vision is clear.
Everyone home. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God. I have never felt the anointing this strong in this church. I have never felt the anointing this strong in this church. I pray that the Holy Spirit will shake this place. What happened?
Pastor Ben, this lady had two spine injuries. She came with one of the crutches that someplace lost in the crowd. The power of God came on her. The pain is gone.
And she left her crutches over there.
In some place on the ground.
Well, she's healed. She's healed. What happened to her? There's a man here. With a brain tumor, there's a man with a brain tumor getting healed up here.
This lady has been suffering with severe headaches for the last 2 months, Pastor. The power of God came on her and she's free today.
What's going on down there, Michael? You take the mic and tell me, Michael.
Pastor, he had a disorder in his leg, had surgery tonight. It was built up with the pressure. You can see the scar right there. You can see how his leg was off.